Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Enjoy this encore presentation.
Come on, James, let's do it.
We're right here at KCNR.
Yeah.
Get
off the table. Get off the table, James. You're always on the table. Oh, wait. We got another one.
Brantford Railroad.
There you go.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Northern California. This is Shasta Live.
Yes.
Radio show by the Shasta County Chamber. It's May. Oh, Cinco de Mayo. Hey, I remember.
Hey.
How many tacos did you eat?
You know what? Because of my thing that I had going, I didn't eat nothing today.
Yeah.
Except when I got home, I had a
You're
couple.
A little yellow.
You were over the sink.
A little yellow.
You're a little yellow.
He's known as Jaundice Jason.
Yes. Jaundice Jason.
That's good.
Supposedly,
That's good.
He has food poisoning.
I have food poisoning. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, welcome to the Shasta Live Radio Show by the Shasta County Chamber. Nigel,
welcome. James,
and Jason.
Jason, and we have our special yapper guest.
Yeah, Ron Giesick. Otherwise known as a backup of your memory septic system.
I don't know if that would work for me.
But we are you are all listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. And again, we are also streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the radio show will be available at some point this week on ShastaCountyChamber.com.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, so what a week.
What a week.
What a week.
What a blowout.
We launched the...
What a week, and it's Tuesday.
And it's Tuesday.
Monday.
Keep it to the minimum.
Yeah. Oh, you know why I said Tuesday? Because tomorrow's trash day, and I already took out the trash, so I'm already feeling like I'm out tomorrow.
See, now I'm even more confused, because trash day is Friday. But...
take out the trash.
Busy couple days. Congratulations that we launched the... Beauty Buzz,
yes,
on Saturday at the Mount Shasta Mall.
And so, real quick, for those that don't know what Beauty Buzz is, obviously, Buzz, it does an incredible job in the, I would say, I want to say local market, but really you guys have a huge reach outside of the area as well.
It's international.
Totally organic social media platform that's continuing to grow, and... we recently worked together as a group, a team, to put together a new arm to Buzz, and Beauty Buzz came of that. There's a lot of history in the North State area when it comes to health, wellness, beauty, fashion, all that kind of stuff. A lot of people don't know that, but we found a wonderful person, Antonia, who is a local wedding gown seamstress. She does custom gowns, trained in Milan, Italy. To work with us, and she is now the face of Beauty Buzz.
Yeah.
And
what a great time that she did there.
Kicked
did
it off,
yeah.
And we kicked it off in great fashion, working with alongside Ulta.
Mm-hmm. At the Mount Shasta Mall.
At the Mount Shasta
Mall.
Harvey Helms.
Harvey Helms.
Mr. Harvey Helms.
L'Oreal.
Yeah. Harvey. It was great. I mean, that's a really good idea to dress in black and those kind of shots like that. That's just some of those photos you took, Nigel, are just like, oh man, premium.
Kind of fun, huh?
Yeah. So you'll be seeing a lot more of that throughout the Buzz channel.
Yeah, more.
Popping in and out, talking about health, wellness, beauty, fashion.
Beauty hacks.
Yeah, beauty hacks, all kinds of fun stuff.
I need those.
Yeah, I got a schedule.
There isn't a hatchet big enough.
I think you might need a
beauty chainsaw.
I've got a chemical face peel scheduled already.
So
you get chemicals, I'll take the laser.
Yeah,
the laser man.
But that was very well received, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it was a good turnout. They went over the numbers, right, what they expected. So it was a good turnout. It was really, really way, I didn't know it was going to be that big of a, you know, success, but hey, we'll take it, right? So all of us working on it together. Well, wait till we, I don't know if we're going to be able to push out a Mother's Day makeover or not, but stay tuned for that. Watch it on, facebook.com/runningbuzz.
Yeah.
And also Instagram.
I think Antonia is working on something. I don't know if it'll be that large since the timing, but I know that she wants to go out into the community and touch base with some businesses and see what kind of promotions they might be running and promote them for Mother's Day.
Well, we can start now with the Halloween makeover.
Want to start with James?
Hatchet.
There you go.
I have a name. I already came up with my name.
What is it?
I'm stealing it. Oh, I don't want to say it now.
Come on.
Silky.
No, don't say that.
We have a 7-second delay. We'll during the break.
Yeah.
Did you learn from Benny Hill?
Silky with the good hair. There we go.
Okay. the other little tidbit, and we're almost ready to announce it, right? That we actually have joint work location.
The working name for our downtown is Enjoy California.
There you go.
And the irony of all this, it's actually in a building called Market Square.
Yeah.
I love it. So it's all fitting.
So we just have a branded name for the space because there's a big group of people that are going to be working in it together. And one will be Bernsini Vineyards, and it will be the new tasting room for Brandy. Spencer James Confectioners, Chocolate Day Nanette, Reading Buzz, Shasta County Chamber, Harbor Marketing. There's a bunch of...
Yeah, it's going to be a fun little center.
Mm-hmm.
The chocolate stuff's going to be dangerous.
But don't be worried if you come in and we're all dead because we've killed each other.
I haven't heard Chocolate Dana Nett's name in so many years.
Right?
It's a
great...
Well, you know, talk about hatchet job, right? I mean, there's a metamorphosis right in front of you.
Hatchet job.
You're nothing but a hatchet job, James.
I'm wearing Nancy's skin, so...
kind of a Hannibal Lecter taste to
it. Yeah.
A nice fava.
The homunculus is in here.
Okay, back to the chocolate. So, yes, they purchased Chocolate Dinanet.
Oh, wow. I mean, how many years ago did that start?
40 years.
Yeah.
40 years.
I know it's a part of my collective consciousness from way back.
Mm-hmm. Way back there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's coming back, so.
Well, it never went away, but it got smaller, and then now we're trying to make it bigger.
Man.
So we're looking forward to that space. I think it's going to be fun. Mm-hmm.
So the location is 1409 Market Street. We're right across the front door from the hearth in downtown Reading, and then our next wall neighbor is Cinder's Pizza and Taste and See and Chiropractic First. So we're in that little breezeway.
Yeah, that little breezeway.
Yep.
Great plans for that.
So if you kill each other, you can have your spine put back in.
Yeah, spine put back in.
I've got an L4 out.
L4.
I probably even said that wrong.
I need ice cream stat.
Yeah. Okay, so our guest here is Mr. Ron. How do you pronounce your last name?
Giesick.
Yeah. See, I've been saying it wrong for the last.
Oh well, but if you talk to other Giesicks, they'll tell you I'm saying it wrong too. There's a very adamant Hatfield and McCoy component to this whole thing.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
What's the other pronunciation?
Giesicka. If you hand like my business card to a German, a legitimate German, not this fake sort of Potemkin village German that I am,
German poser.
A German poser, yes. Although not in terms of my ability to tan, because believe me, I'm telling you, I look like Phil's telling you, man, without any sun, I look like that character from the movie Powder.
Powder, Powder. I remember that movie, Powder.
Yeah, but they'll say Giesicka.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's another gentleman here in town who has kind of proven we're related by extension all back to Texas, and he says Gieske.
He's
kind of been a Reading.
Oh, I always said Giesecke, so I guess that's wrong.
Yeah. So really, they're all right.
Yeah.
I just figure I homogenize all the pronunciations and go with it.
But it's German?
It is German, yeah.
Okay.
So how do they say it in Giesick?
Giesecke.
In Germany, they'll say Giesecke.
Giesecke.
And how's it spelled?
Giesecke.
Huh.
You lost me at G. but you're, are you a native? From here?
Since I was six. I was born in East L.A., and my parents moved me up here when we were six. And so, and then, except for time in the military, where I spent time in Texas and Louisiana.
How old are you?
I am 58. I just turned 58 in April.
Okay.
It hurts, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
I remember it.
And that's not old. I just want to know because because you said you moved here when you were six. I moved here when I was six.
Yeah.
So how old are we?
Before we go any further,
because
I want to get into your story here. Let's take our first break and we'll be right back.
All right.
Yeah. Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. a global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us.
This show's for educated voters, not for people that voted for Kamala Harris.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1468.
Yeah, here we go.
We'll have 20 seconds. Oh, we're live?
No, we're live. Because James is dancing again.
Bow, bow, bow.
Oh, take it away, James. You got it.
Yeah. Welcome back, Shasta Live. We have... I'm going to say this right.
Yeah.
I want you to. Gisick.
Yes.
Gisicka.
Yeah. Gisicka.
However you want to say it. I don't care. Whatever kind of verb. Gisick. Yeah. I'll take whatever verbal hazing is coming my way. I don't care.
Okay. So you moved here when you were six.
Yes.
And you went to the military.
I did.
Where'd you go?
Fort Polk, Louisiana. Well, Fort Bliss, Texas, and Fort Polk, Louisiana. I stayed stateside.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't go overseas.
No Mortal Kombat?
No. No. Watched a lot of fights on cattle cars, but that was a whole other... Yeah.
And then you came back here, or did you travel?
No, I didn't travel a whole lot. I came back here. I mean, I've done a minuscule amount of traveling, but actually, my the fingers of my, walkabout status on this planet is actually kind of sad. there's a lot of places I've yet to visit that I wish I could, and I might.
Have you ever been to Cottonwood?
I have, yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, I have.
Just checking.
Yes, I have. I adore Cottonwood. Cottonwood's kind of a magical...
Oh, I know you've been further south because you have been to the Magic Castle. Okay, so we kind of know you as the magician guy.
Yeah.
Do you call yourself a magician or is it a trickster? Like, what do you do?
I use it generically. My business card says clever chap and all-around tricky person. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to just put the word magician on there, even though that's the word people are looking for, and it's fine. But I'm not an illusionist, because people don't understand the definition. Illusionist is where...
Are you sure you're not a musician?
I am that, too.
Oh, you are.
He is a musician. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I do know he's a musician.
Yeah, I play like... It doesn't matter. But I play a lot of
instruments.
That's
pretty tricky. You're a musician and a magician.
Yeah. jack of all trades and master of none, which is not a phrase I made up. It's probably as cliche as you can get, but it really is true. You know, the problem is I never know which master to serve in terms of artistic approach.
You need to come up with something clever that's magical while you're playing the guitar or whatever you play. What do you play?
Guitar, bass, drums, small amount of piano, banjo, mandolin, ukulele, and harmonica.
Harmonica.
Wow.
So,
wow. Yeah. What an under...
No
under,
violin?
I tried. My daughter does play the violin.
I mean, you know.
What an underachiever. You think you could play some real...
I know.
Well, no, I did in the fourth grade. In the fourth grade, I took violin from Bill Jacoby, otherwise known as Doc Jacoby. An icon here. He's long passed, and his lovely wife, Adrian, just passed away not too long ago.
Adrian passed away?
Yeah, she did. And and his daughter, Jana, plays for Rod Stewart, and has played for Rod Stewart for well over 25 years.
Soccer?
Mm-hmm. Not soccer, no. The fiddle and predominantly mandolin.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so how did you get
Jacoby's
into...
I haven't heard that name in so long.
Yeah.
Kind of my... Just, jarred my...
I learned Twinkle Twinkle Little Star from Doc Jacoby in the Happy Valley Fire Department is where our lessons were.
Wow. Well, how did you get into the magic?
Okay, thing? So when I was here last time, I went...
Because for those who don't know, he's actually really good.
Actually really good. I love that.
Well, you know, in writing, you never know.
All right, so I'm going to give you the 10-second thing. My dad was taking me to shows when I was a kid at a place called Busch Gardens, and we were watching magic shows together even when I was a little kid. The Magic Land of Alakazam with Mark Wilson and Doug Henning and so on, and then David Copperfield. And then I dropped it for a bunch of years, and then I saw a kid perform in a restaurant here in town, and it lit me back up, and I realized that it was something that I could do, that my rhetorical side of my personality worked. And as they fused together all these years, it's turned into this complete mess, rhetorical mess that I perform now, which is actually, I mean that in an affectionate way, but that's how I got into it. And I've always loved the way cards are manipulated, and even though I don't gamble, I like the way cards look when they're spread on the table. I've always liked the...
So do you have a trick you can do on the radio?
How do we call that of a spectrum disorder?
Yeah. I'm probably on the spectrum somehow.
I'm on the spectrum.
I was going to say, if you're like spreading out cards and that like totally gets you going, then yeah, I'm like, a little spectrum-y.
Yeah. So basically, my entire act is like a walk through history. I go through the history of Sherlock Holmes's creation. I go through the Wild Bill Hickok and the killing in Deadwood, South Dakota in August of 1876. And as I've gone through the last 5-6 years, people come up to me and go, I really love your act. I can't believe somebody can do that with a deck of cards, but your storytelling.
I was going to say, we talk about storytelling before, yeah. So,
and that's where the podcast now is.
So that's how it happened.
It is.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And I had shared my experience with David Copperfield and storytelling, and how like I could not imagine ever going to a magic show and being emotional in any way. And it made me totally emotional, and it was the story.
And,
wow.
And I'm going to be honest. I'm going to credit David. He doesn't get it. He doesn't get a lot of credit because there's a lot of little egotistical demigods running around with, like, you know, four aces and looking at people like they think they want. David was about presenting a package that made you emotional, mm-hmm. and call it what it is. But now it's turned into this other thing. When David Blaine came along, he didn't mean to do it, but he cultivated a bunch of these little guys that walk around the street and want to make you think they've descended from Mount Olympus, and they're like fallen angels in plain clothes, you know, and just, oh, you unbelievable. They want to leave you wondering and all that. And I never really wanted to be that. David Copperfield did a trick with the four aces, and it's called Grandpa's Aces. So if you're listening, YouTube Grandpa's Aces when this show is over and watch it. It's the greatest four-ace trick I've ever seen, and it's about his grandpa, and it's to music, and that was a game changer for me, watching him do that trick.
Wow. I'll definitely go see that, because I like to see things that are pivotal in other people's lives.
It's the the most beautiful card trick I've ever seen on television in my life.
Huh.
So let's talk about the podcast then.
Which I love, the name.
Box number 7.
You. Yeah.
Yeah, Box number 7, simply the name of the balcony in which Abraham Lincoln was killed.
Yeah.
Balcony is sort of metaphorical for not only an inflection point, but it's a vantage point as well. Mm-hmm. And if you were to enter that balcony now, you are literally looking out over history. You're looking down on the stage where John Wilkes Booth yelled "Sic Semper Tyrannis" and ran out with a broken ankle and was ultimately, you know.
So I take it you went there.
I have not, and that's the sad. I'm so glad you pointed that out to embarrass me. No, I'm kidding. No, that is. There's two places I really need to go.
Magic Mountain.
One is
Disneyland.
Yeah, I haven't been there in Disneyland probably 20 some years. Even though I go to the NAMM show every year, right across the street, I just never go in.
And I love the how you named it and why and all that. It's clever. Yeah. But when I heard it the very first time, I thought it was a safety deposit box.
Yeah, and it is. But the thing is, it's got a mysterious enough name, and I do like mystery. I do like occlusion. I do like leaving people with a question on what's on the other side of that wall. You know, Paul Harvey's Rest of the Story is a great template for sometimes.
You know what's inside Mount Shasta?
The Lemurians, allegedly.
Yeah, have you seen them?
I have not seen them.
That would be a good
I've heard about them. Yeah. You could probably talk to Mike Flanagan, though. Have you ever talked to him on here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went there for a wedding last week. So everything's very small.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to distract.
I don't
Box
care.
Number seven.
Really big room.
Yeah. And so I started out. I started the podcast. I originally called it Woolly Swamp Radio because of the way again these inflection points in my life. Charlie Daniels had a song called The Legend of Woolly Swamp, and that song captivated me. And it was about, you know, these three guys that murder an old man, and then he kind of comes back spiritually to drive them insane and drown them in the swamp in retribution and things. Those kind of stories, I always liked them. I mean, the childhood ghost story. But then I realized the reference is going to be lost. And then when I realized I wanted to do history and not so much conspiracy and not so much eschatology and not so much, a friend of mine, Andy Tate from the Let's Not Meet podcast, a very big one, he told me, he goes, just get your focus, man. Get your focus. And he gave me a ton of advice, but he goes, you got to narrow it if you really, you know, have a mission that other people can define. And that's what I did. So history is this natural reflex. It's a muscle I don't even have to flex. My ability to talk about it is there. My writing ability, I'm really quick, so I'm able to put all those things together. And it's going along. And so I'm at like probably 300 downloads a month, which I shouldn't talk about numbers. But for a new podcast,
that's not bad.
It's not,
not bad at all.
But it'll get there.
Yeah.
Are you doing
Andy just broke 100 million.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Are you doing local history?
I have covered a local 1909 airship disaster that happened here. Mm-hmm. I will be covering the Ruggles brothers in September, but I'm doing that show to coincide with the release of Discovery Channel's Expedition Unknown because Josh Gates came out and filmed with Ryan. And Ryan's going to come on my show and add a little bit. So, and I just, my most recent
Here's
episode.
That he had a, he did a show at the Civic, right?
Was
that
he did.
Yeah.
He did. I did not.
I went.
Was it good?
Yeah. Yeah, he was. Yeah, it was clever. And he told us about this, but this has been in works for a long time.
Yeah. And allegedly it's going to be the season premiere.
If cool.
Flanagan thinks it is. He doesn't have the official word. And the one, the episode I just dropped yesterday is about the 1924 expedition game that Babe Ruth played in Dunsmuir.
Yeah.
It comes up as a news story here. The Shasta Historical Society's been, you know, all over it when they do. Except I found something that all the narratives haven't gotten to is that they all have said that the game score was lost to history. It wasn't there. Well, it isn't my ability, but the ability to search microfiche now, you can search it by term. You don't have to go and get the microfiche and scroll page by page. You can search by words. And so I looked for it, and I found out that Dunsmuir beat Weed 10-7, and it's there. And so I put that in my podcast. But basically that is just, in short, the 1919 scandalous World Series that was, you know, the syndicate got paid these guys $10,000 to throw the series, and they did. They were indicted and acquitted and all this, and Babe Ruth was just trying to rescue baseball's good name. So him and Bob Muser went down the coast to play these expedition games, and a businessman, Frank Talmadge.
On train.
Yeah, by on train. A train. Mm-hmm. But Frank Talmadge, a businessman, found out about it, and he, I was going to say he emailed. he either telegrammed or called. He called the manager, and he says, well, we can come, but you're going to have to pick them up in Ashland and drive them down, and the train will meet them. So they came down. They had it cost $1,000. The Lions Club could only raise $250. Talmadge pulls $750 out of his pocket. They bring him in. He plays these games, and then Babe Ruth finds out that Talmadge was in the hole, $750. He said, "Let's throw a quick parade and a dance hall thing." And so he became the grand marshal in an ad hoc thing, Babe Ruth's idea, and he raised the funds to pay those guys off. Got on a train and bailed for San Francisco.
Wow.
So.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
So there's no need to listen to the podcast now.
I gave you the Cliff Notes version. There's some other little things in
you
the middle.
You can download this later after the show. You don't have to.
Yeah.
So how many places is the podcast?
Oh, it's on all the major Apple, Spotify, Deezer, Apple Music, Pandora. If you look up Box and any of those podcast apps, what's it called? Podcast Addict.
Podbean.
If you just look me up, I download to all those. So
what's the platform you use to distribute them?
RSS.com.
RSS, okay.
Yeah. And I log into there, and it gives me, it doesn't tell me how many followers I have, but it tells me how many downloads, and it shows me a map. And so predominantly, I'm hitting the United States, but there's some guy in Kenya listening to me. I have no idea who that is.
He's probably a prince. He's
Pretoria, South Africa.
Money.
Yeah, the United Arab Emirates. Occasionally, there's one in Russia. Somebody in Mogadishu was listening to me. I have no idea what's going on. So,
Black Hawk Down.
I'm trying to.
Okay. Tell you what, let's take our bottom of the hour break.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll be right back.
All right.
Guys, feel free.
We'll be right back.
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Good evening, we're back, Shasta Live, by the Shasta County Chamber. It's Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, Cinco
Nigel
de Mayo.
James Jason.
Yeah.
And we have Ron Giesick.
Yeah, you said it properly. Yes, correctly.
And we're about to do the best magic trick on ever done on radio.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. For everybody listening is absolutely deprived of visual anything.
Mm-hmm.
I want four aces.
I went four aces.
I got four aces right here.
You.
Yeah. All right. So I'll best to try to describe this for the crowd.
Could you stream it live?
Well, I could do it if I was ready for it. I'll try it right now.
Oh, yeah, go right. So
Don't you just push a button?
You guys know what Cinco de Mayo celebrates, right?
The 5th of May.
Yeah.
Mexico defeated the French forces.
Mm.
Oh.
And then, of course, the French went on to be self-defeating from that point on.
Yes,
anyway,
right?
I
was going to say, wasn't there independence? Because that's in September.
Okay, so is this on Reading Buzz?
Yeah, this is live on Reading Buzz.
Okay, if you go on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, live on Reading Buzz, but this will show up there later as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, all right, so you're looking at four aces here.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
they say that if you had a machine that was calibrated enough to weigh the aces,
mm-hmm.
that this ace, the ace of spades, would theoretically be slightly heavier.
Because of the ink. Because
of the ink, because of the larger pip,
yep.
the corporate logo, and the extraneous information down
Makes
here.
Makes sense.
All right. So if I were to use the light and heavy principle to illustrate an otherwise illogical trick, there is the ace, the heavy card, which mm-hmm. is on the table.
Mm-hmm.
If I took a lighter ace and placed it underneath, under no circumstances should the lighter ace come to the top and this heavy one come under here. Now, that is, of course, abstract, light and heavy. Let's mm-hmm. try. Let's try it one more time.
Whoa.
This one's light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the whole trick is predicated on this one being heavy. If I place this one underneath, would it be impressive if it came to the top?
Yes.
Yeah.
What if it came to the top over here, on top of the club that's over here in my hand? So the ones I just laid on the table that were previously black are now red.
Whoa.
Okay.
Hey.
Thank you very much.
I'm
going to be here all week. Please tip your waitress.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That was magic.
That was magic.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, what do you want to call it?
Yeah. That, by the way, that'll get you kicked out of Wind River.
Will it?
Yeah, no. I don't know.
I have a feeling.
Joke.
I have a feeling you are not welcome at Wind River.
Hey, yeah, by the way, I feel so self-conscious with these things on. These are called the birth control headphones.
Mm-hmm. You look like Mini Mickey.
Yeah.
Or Princess Leia. That's how I feel.
Princess Leia. Yeah, you do look like Princess Leia.
I do. I'm getting ready to run up, and I'm going to confront Darth Vader right now in the hallway of the Death Star.
So, yeah. That's a good trick. Do you get lots of woos and ahs?
Yeah, but that's to me is real rudimentary because I have to build up with a premise that's a little bit silly. The stuff that's important to me is where I'm telling you a legitimate story from mm-hmm. either history or the Sherlock Holmes stuff. I can't really go into it here, but I have a trick that speculates what kind of a card player Sherlock Holmes would have been based upon the skills that are imputed to him in the novels by Arthur Conan Doyle. Mm-hmm. The first is observation of known quantities. So I'll have somebody grab a chunk of cards and hand them to me, and I tell them exactly how many cards they handed to me, and I count them out, and I'm hopefully correct. And then the second one is anthropological observation, where I just talk about people give away information when they play cards. It's called a tell, and I have somebody pick a card, and I use yes answers that statements that I make, you have a red or black card, and by their reaction I say, okay, it's red, and then I narrow it down to their card. And then the last one is a card counting exercise, where I let them grab a chunk of cards out of the deck, I look at the remainder of the deck, and I do what's called clocking it in my head, where I'm able to tell, using a set of mnemonic techniques that I've been doing for almost 40 years of my life, and I can tell what cards are here, therefore I know what cards you're holding, and I call them out one at a time and make you throw them on the table until I call the last one. Whoa. Sometimes I fail on one or two cards. If I fail on one, it actually makes the trick stronger because it shows that, you know,
it's real.
My cognition
it's real.
Does have its limitations, but hopefully I try to get it right. I don't do that for dramatic effect.
So, when you need money, do you just like go to Vegas for a weekend or what?
No, that's a funny part. Is that I even said this in my show the other night. By the way, shout out to the Vespers Lodge in Red Bluff for having me down there. It was really great. But I even said this as I was performing, and they were just so receptive. And I said, oh, by the way, I don't gamble. But I have specific philosophical and spiritual reasons, spiritual reasons for why I don't. But if I didn't have those reasons, these reasons would be good enough. And it always gets a laugh, but it's legit. I don't gamble.
So that trick itself, would that be considered sleight of hand?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but I hear the word.
I mean, not really. That's the joke, but it's just...
It's called sleight of hand or... You, me, eyes slow.
Yeah.
it's like this. A lot of it has to do with just skills that you cultivate over a long period of time, like that.
Yeah, those cards would have went flying in every direction.
Yeah, and sometimes and sometimes they are for me as well. But it does help to add to your mystique by being able to make to do these ASMR sort of things, mm-hmm. you know. One of the other ASMR things is my eyes are bad for this, is to cut the deck exactly in half and do what's called a perfect Pharaoh shuffle. Mm. If you look, that is a perfect weave of cards right there. No two cards between any others. And it makes this sound. Ooh. Just like that. And those things really help kind of build the appreciation of your skill level rather than just coming in with a rabbit. You're not going to drop that. I'm going to get out of here and people are going to go, what is he referencing? I'm not explaining it. Yeah.
Wow. You had to be here before the show.
Yeah.
You missed it.
Well, thanks for that demonstration.
Thank you.
James, I think you should give that a shot. Try a new skill.
No.
Yeah, and by the way,
I definitely couldn't memorize any of the cards. I know that for sure.
Yeah, so anybody that's listening, though, box number 7, you just spell those words out. Don't use any symbols or whatever, and you'll find me out there. And if you heard me on here and you find my podcast, send me an email or a message and say you heard me here. I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, right on.
Fun. Yeah.
Right on.
Cool. Well, tell you what, let's take our last break early, because when we come back, let's talk about food.
Yes, food.
Yeah.
Yesfood.com.
Yes.
The magic of food.
The magic of food.
Oh, it is.
We'll be right back.
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
On behalf of the Chicks and Chaps 2025 Committee, we'd like to thank our following sponsors in helping to make this year's Chicks and Chaps Breast Cancer Awareness Luncheon the best ever. A heartfelt thanks goes to Fowler Oncology, Redding Rancheria, Goldmart, Shasta Regional Medical Center, Mercy Foundation, Lulu's, Holiday Harbor, Four Winds Jewelry, Urban Retreat, the Sheraton Hotel and Mosaic Restaurant, Ortega's Restaurant in Palo Cedro, Woody's Bar and Grill, and Wonderland Signs.
Yeah. And we're back.
Now, come
evening,
on, James.
Chef Live.
Yeah.
Cinco de Mayo.
The
Cinco
recliners. De Mayo. This recliner is so comfortable.
Well, if that's your definition of a recliner, yes, measures, right?
Nothing like a stool.
Yeah.
Like jammed in your bum.
Yep. Welcome to Shasta Live. The Shasta County Chamber. We have our good friend Ron
Geesick.
Yeah, so what's the food?
I'll never forget that.
Well, you know, food is it's essential, right? We always like to say, you know, obviously when people come to visit or wherever you go, you know, all the attractions that a place may have are great and all the things to do
mm-hmm.
are important. But if they don't have a good meal, it ruins the whole experience.
And if it's definitely something you talk about when you leave.
Right. And if they do have a great meal, it becomes even more memorable the whole trip.
And the whole thing about food, unfortunately, in modern day, it has become so incredibly expensive.
That's right. So I think it's Yvonne and $50 a feed at KFC or something.
Yeah. Yvonne and I just went down to Stockton for a wedding this weekend. And we got there early because we were delivering the cake, and we asked somebody, you know, hey, we want to go to lunch because we are going to wait around for hours. And they were like, oh, there's this great place. And so we went to it, and it was beautiful dining. I mean, experience, and the food was amazing. But we got, for an appetizer, some deviled eggs, which were really good.
Mm.
And we both had a Diet Coke. She got an appetizer of...
You're already up to $75.
Yeah, $75, easy.
Yeah. Got an appetizer of Brussels sprouts. That's what she got. And I got a pork chop, but none of the sides, because it came with all kinds of things. But all I got was spinach and broccoli, because, you know, me and my diabetes, right? And it was
$112. $112.
Yeah. Should have skipped the eggs.
I think more and more people are shopping at home.
It's trying to, like, have a food place. You know?
But, well, I mean, there was a million people working in there, and I thought that's why it was $112. I mean, there's no way you could run that restaurant, which was absolutely beautiful, and it was, everything was great. And I had no complaints at all other than $112, and we didn't even really, I mean,
right.
There wasn't full meals right. anywhere.
Yeah.
But I thought, you're paying all these people, I'm sure, $22+ an hour, and there's like 50 of them.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, so I would say one of the benefits of Shasta County Reading is the sheer number of restaurants that we have here.
Oh, and growing.
I don't know the exact ratio, but I do know that Reading, the ratio of number of restaurants to the number of people live here is high.
We've had a fresh
restaurant to animals.
And so, and this is drive time, so, well, a little after drive time, so sometimes if people are listening, we'll come up with some food ideas.
Yeah.
Mention some places to go eat.
Yeah.
So, Jason.
Yeah.
Some of the new places. Are there any new places?
Well, for the first time this morning, I went to LGI Nutrition in Palo Cedro. It was really good. They gave me an energy drink, all natural. And I didn't know that they make these waffles made out of protein.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a vegetable protein. But, man, it looks really good. And she's selling a lot of them. In fact, she has to get up the day on, like, Tuesday or Wednesday. She has to spend all day and all night making, prepping for those orders because you have people outside the door at 1 a.m. in the morning to pick it up.
They're,
yeah. Yeah. Wait. These protein donuts, made out of vegan veggie.
Okay. So if you're listening and you're one of those people. If you're one of those people who stands outside a store or restaurant at 1 a.m. for these waffles, please call us.
Yeah.
Because
I used to do that for a new iPhone, but not I never
What time does she open?
Well, I think every Tuesday, Wednesday, she opens, she just opens at 1 a.m. To deliver those orders for people on the sidewalk lined up to get it. I think she has some huge accounts with that, but they just go crazy over her organic natural donuts and the waffle. It's just crazy. I said, well, that much.
Did you have some?
No, no, I'm going to go back and do a live
show. At 1 a.m.?
And they're $35 a donut.
I got one for you.
That's an interesting one. What you got?
So,
can you pay somebody to stand in for you at the line? Will they accept that?
I don't know. Just call them up.
Even though I was practically catatonic with the demise of La Cabana when the, you know, when they evaporated, it's been replaced in my life, but not. It was already present, and this is a food truck. Tio Nate's Tacos.
Oh, Tio Nate's.
I don't know if you've tried it.
I've heard many times.
It means Uncle Nate, but Nate Tapete runs that. You should have him on to talk about it because he hails from Mexico. His family hails from Mexico originally, and he learned, he got his culture when he lived in Mexico on how to do food, and he brings that consciousness into his food, and it's wonderful. He plants in some of the same places every week, and I'm fortunate. I have a day job for the county. Don't need to go into it, but he parks near us, and on Thursdays I get to go over there, and he kills it. Absolutely kills it. Wow. If you're not following him, you got to follow him. But he is just.
Any other favorite places?
Let's see. Well, you know, Jack's is of course legendary, right. And I went to Dude's again after many, many years after sitting in here with the owner of Dude's. Dude, those hamburgers, very. The prices were wonderful.
I know. Yeah, the prices were extremely fair.
They're out of the park, man. They just have a thing. There's a style. I probably need to use it.
You shouldn't say
I was going to say that. I'll just say that because the French were defeated by Mexico on Cinco de Mayo. So.
I think they've always been defeated.
Yeah. Or they've always needed help.
You know that old joke about, you know why they planted all those trees along the Champs-Élysées? So the Germans could march in the shade. Anyway, it's an old joke.
You know the rarest item in France?
What?
Is a used machine gun.
Yeah. Okay. We can do it today because it's Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, this is absolutely a victory by Mexico, which
we're
I
party.
Have.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to food. So we have two so far.
Ancient Eatery. Sizzle's Kitchen.
Yes, Sunday Sizzle.
So it's a Caribbean-style food. And I only filmed the outside because they weren't ready. They were supposed to kick off at 6 o'clock. They weren't ready. They're going to kick it off at 7. So I still went live.
No, they got nothing on 1 a.m. donuts.
Yeah. That's Anyway, so yeah, I'm going to go back and do a live stream on that because it's like a full-blown, like, Caribbean-style food, which I have no idea what Caribbean food consists of. I don't do
Plantains?
I don't know.
Caribbean food that's got a lot of, I don't know.
Jerk.
Yeah, chicken jerk. And...
Jerk.
Yeah.
Jerk fish.
Oh, jerk fish.
They did a lot of seafood.
Did you just call me a jerk?
Yeah.
How about this? Have you ever tried...
I do know that. I don't know all the names and stuff, but it is very good food.
Have you tried Turkish coffee before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Greek Shack over on Hartnell.
Do they genuinely sand heat it?
Oh. Whatever he does, he hands it to you and goes... He tells you exactly how to drink it and how to hold it. I mean... It's like he's handing you nitroglycerin, you know, that he put all of his, I forgot his name, my buddy David goes there all the time. It's strong. Yeah. I mean, and I'm, you know, I
well,
drink
it's not filtered at all. It still has the grounds in it.
Yeah,
I mean,
but it also
boil it out and it drops to the bottom.
Yeah, it has a sediment on the bottom where I think possibly Jimmy Hoffa is located. Mm-hmm. Or the Lindbergh baby. I don't know. Something.
The Lindbergh.
I always thought it was Chernobyl sludge.
Yeah.
Hey, the first time I had Greek food was over on Eureka when he had Anthony's Greek cuisine over there, right? And I kept on calling it gyro. And on the live stream, people say, it's not gyro, it's gyro, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I got schooled really fast. I butchered words.
Most Americans call it gyro. They do. So.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows what that is. You're like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
You
any
want
other,
lamb, chicken, or beef?
Any other Buzz Rumors restaurant? What's happening with that? There's another new chicken place opening up there next to Target. What's it called? Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh.
What's the status on that? Do we know?
No.
Like the Buffalo Wild Wings?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But I don't, I mean, when it comes to wings, I go to Wing Spot on Lake Boulevard, right? They just have some good wings. They have all these flavors, so it's really
I'm
hard to beat that.
I'm surprised Buffalo Wild Wings is still expanding. I didn't think they were doing so hot as a chain, but, you know, what do I know?
There's some more things opening up. What's happening with Mel's? Are they still
No, that's on hold for right now because I think because they've seen the market take a dive, so now they have the sign back up for lease. So
oh, no.
Yeah, so that's on hold for right now. And then stay tuned for Dudes, not Dudes, but the Jeans.
Jeans Drive-In?
Yeah, Jeans Drive-In. Going to be open probably really soon. Not there,
how
but
gonna
in a different location.
How are we going to differentiate between Jeans
and Dudes?
Yeah.
Pop 50s is also under some sort of reconstruction, I see.
Yeah.
Is that where Jeans is moving into Old Pops?
I don't know. Oh. But
Pops
Kenny,
Jeans?
Kenny said that. He'll
Old
let
Pops
me know.
Is Jeans, yeah.
I called him last week and I said, what's going on? He goes, I'll let you know next week or two, but it's really soon. Hmm. So.
Not at the same location, though?
No.
Not at the new location.
No, because there's another place, another business bought that from Sacramento. They came up, and it's going to be another hamburger place, believe it or not. Another burger place. Yeah, so.
I got one.
They better be good.
What you got?
Black Rose Coffee is
Black
moving
Rose Coffee
into the old pretzel place.
Yeah, on Hilltop.
Yep. Pretzels.
Mm. Oh, man. Chris, the owner, she owned that pretzel place on Hilltop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She started out in the mall, and then she moved there, and I think... I don't know. I think, rent issues. I don't know, but it was sad.
Yeah.
They did a great job there.
My kids loved that pretzel place.
I have to, there's the Blue Door Bagel in Chess Lake City. Uh-huh. I need to go there and try that out. I haven't tried it yet. Juanita's is having, a special, today and tomorrow on their food. So check them out in the Chess Lake City.
Yep.
I know you are you're like omnipresent with the food. And everywhere I turn around, and Jason's popping up in another food store. You've probably tried any place.
The best burger that I've had, I mean, as far as different, right, like juicy and encapsulated, is recently was, I love the Golden Fang burger because they use the Elwood beef, right? Mm-hmm. That's just like off the chart. They have a great burger because they use Elwood beef. But another place I like is they call it UFO Burger.
Mm-hmm.
Completely.
I don't know if that's what they're calling theirs, but I know that that's how I know them.
Oh.
It's called UFO Burger.
Well, somebody said.
It's a sealed burger, so it doesn't fall or juice out all over
you. Show me how he makes it. Okay. That's really cool.
So maybe they're doing their own version of it, but I know that there's a chain called UFO Burger and they make it and then it goes in a machine and it seals the buns together and it looks like a solid UFO. Like a disc.
Wow.
I was thinking about that. Isn't that basically like a Hot Pocket?
Yeah. A glorified Hot Pocket, but. Yeah, and just put a burger in it and some cheese.
Interesting. I kind of like
was it good? Was it good?
Yeah.
Oh, really I'm good. Sure it's good.
I kind of like the way a burger is open and there's that risk index of it dropping into your lap when you're at the stoplight or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's part of it. There's,
oh, yeah.
Like, you hate the fact
part
that it drops.
Part of the experience,
it is.
Right?
There's a, by the way, and a non-in-town McLeod, just a quick Floyd's Frosty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever had the Elk Burger.
Mm-mm.
That dude. I don't know, man.
Yeah, he's good, yeah.
It's just, anyway.
I bet that's delicious.
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mercantile, have you ate at the Snow Mountain Cafe? Mm-hmm.
They're always Mercantile. Closed, or there's some interstitial thing going on with them every time I go, you know?
Oh, really good.
Oh, and because of California.
So keeping in theme, Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
Where do we go today?
Today, you better go head over
to
El Burrito House on Dana Drive. They're having a big special, like only $8 for a huge platter of Mexican food. Only $8. And we know that Tuesday their tacos are $2 and Friday they have the $1 tacos, which is only on Fridays. But $1 tacos with homemade tortilla shells, that's kind of hard to beat.
Everybody. Listen to him, man. He's culinary Rain Man. He's got the
culinary Rain Man.
That's a good name for you. Culinary Rain Man.
There we go.
Just made that up on the spot. Here's my problem, man.
Yeah.
Well, we have our new Mexican restaurant that we love over in the, is it the Castle?
Yeah. Casa Rios Grill.
Casa Rios Grill. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
That place was packed and loud.
Oh, yeah. Loud. We could hardly hear ourselves.
Well, it just it's taken off. I mean, it is, like, full on. But they have a dish there that I can't. I mean, I literally, I tell them at the end, of the, bring me my bathing suit. I'm just going in.
Is that over in the Hartnell area?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it comes as a full meal, but, again, because I can't eat anything. But this is a cream sauce with shrimp prawns.
Oh, wow. Ooh, that sounds actually good.
Yeah.
When they first opened up, I gave them a shout-out. That was years ago, like eight years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then went across there and filmed Steve McGrath at the time. He was flair tending at Castle Lounge in his kilt. I think Paddy's Day, and this still ranks when if you look up Steve McGrath, flair attending at Castle, you'll find it.
How many of you have been to, what's the place where they make the ugly burger?
Oh. Gifts?
Gifts, yeah. Gifts. Yeah.
Yeah,
I haven't been there in a long time.
And Double Creek and Red Bluff, they make a wicked burger. Like, wow.
I just, gifts, I just remember when they're making it in front of you, it just seems like
it's funny. You go in there and, like, he flips you off, man. He gives you the burger. He flips you off, like, hey. And I'm going to,
like, being in New York where they treat you like crap.
Oh, man.
It's like part of the charm.
There was a Turkish coffee shop called Trista in San Francisco, and I went there with my friend, and he goes in there and he tries to order a triple espresso.
Yeah.
And he goes, do you guys do triples? He goes, no, we don't do triples. And he goes, well, how do I get a triple? He goes, can you do a double and add an extra shot? And he just rolls his eyes and goes, yeah, like that. And the whole point was you go in there and they just smack you around like that.
Yeah.
That was their whole vibe. You went in there and you were completely walked on. Your humanity was ground down to a granular level and you were liking it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to try that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I go to Gifts. He'll make you feel like you need to go see your mama.
Yeah.
It's like he's brutal with his language, too.
Go behind the wall.
Yeah, behind the wall. Yeah, he uses body language, too, to tell you how he feels.
Yeah. Not everybody can get away with that,
though. I know, but he does.
So a few minutes left.
Yeah.
Ron, thank you for coming on the show. Why don't you give us a little summary of what you're doing, where people can find you.
Okay.
Any magic shows coming up?
The next official public ones will be for the Shasta County Libraries in June and July. They're community free events. I do them, two in Reading, month apart, one in Bernie, one in Anderson. That's the only public stuff I've got coming up with that. And the podcast, box number 7, just spell it out. The email is box7@yahoo.com. I'm on TikTok. I'm on X. I am on Instagram. I really don't care that much about Facebook. Facebook has not been a friend to any publicity I've ever tried to get for anything. So I just don't care at this point.
Well, I could be wrong. You're not close with Zuck?
Yeah, close with Zuck. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if I get a chip in my cerebellum.
Chip number 7.
Yep, so I'm doing the history podcast, and I'm always looking to talk to. We've already discussed off mic here, you know, who I want to talk to, and I'm out trying to get a hold of those people. And I've got some interesting subjects coming up, everything from Mark Twain to C.S. Lewis to...
But if people want to hire you to come do... magic tricks at their
a kid's birthday party.
Oh, yeah. I've got an email.
Did you put a clown outfit on?
No.
A clown outfit.
No, that there's too many people have wrecked the reputation of magic by doing that kind of thing. So it's like, yeah, absolutely not. They can find me through the podcast. It's the same contacts and things like that. I have an email that people can write down. marleysghost67@gmail.com. Of course, it's my affinity for A Christmas Carol and Ebenezer Scrooge, so that's where that comes from. There you go.
You have all kinds of tricks up your sleeve.
I do. and it's a ghost story with a threefold redemption plan built into it, and I happen to love it very much. So.
Nice.
Cool.
Well, I think on that note,
we've got 39 seconds. The beautiful fireplace that's been set up for us.
Very nice.
That is cute.
The flaming countdown.
Yep. Yeah. So our projected maybe opening date?
I just September, cannot tell you after August. I just got notice that both our air conditioning units need to be replaced.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Does that involve helicopters by any chance?
Perhaps.
Is that your responsibility to fix that?
No.
Okay.
No. Maintenance is, yes, but not replacement. They're not working. We haven't even turned them on yet.
Well, thank you, Noli, California. Thank you, Ron, for joining us.
Thank you.
It was fun.
It was awesome.
And we'll go to box number 7.
Box number 7.
Ciao.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.